The glare of a dozen high-powered lights streamed down upon the square of canvas. Beginning at its edges and on all four sides, tiers of seats held a crowd of some 5,000 spectators. They were gathered here for a great sporting event. The best two falls out of three between the great Bulak and Gorilla Slavko for the heavyweight wrestling championship of the world. Two massive, hulking brutes pitting their brawn against one another for... Wait a minute. Here comes a mighty man. Or should we say a mite of a man? Yes, it's him, all right. Waltzing down the aisle, bound for a seat in the front row, Professor Cosmo Jones.
And that's the humorous opening to another pleasant visit with The Player, starring Mr. Paul Frees, America's most versatile actor. We'll return after a few profitable moments with your announcer. The Player, Mr. Paul Frees.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is The Player, welcoming you to our presentation of The Professor Goes to a Wrestling Match. As soon as Cosmo Jones seated himself, he was launched into trouble. The patron directly in back of him jabbed his neck with a finger that felt like a stove poker.
Listen, Buttercup, what's that thing you got on your head?
Why, that's my chapeau.
Your what?
My chapeau.
What kind of hairdo is that?
Oh, really, it's not my coiffure. It's my chapeau.
Yeah? Well, whatever it is, it's between me and the ringside. I want you to take it off.
And, my good man, if I choose not to...
That's enough. I'll lower it for you.
With this, the patron seized the professor's hat with both hands and wrenched it downward over the little man's face. Cosmo floundered around with both hands groping and began sticking his fingers in people's eyes. And one in particular.
Hey, what in the devil? Oh, so it's you, you little screwball.
Huh? What? Oh, is that you, Captain Murphy?
Is that me? What? Of course it's me. Who else could it be for you to go stumbling over? Hang on to your neck, you dried up little turnip, and I'll give you a hand.
Murphy grabbed Cosmo's hat, planted his size 12 brogan in the little fella's sparrow-like chest, and heaved.
Now shut up, because here comes the wrestler.
Down the aisle they came and into the ring, the great Bulak and Gorilla Slavko. At the sight of them, Cosmo tugged at Murphy's sleeve.
Oh, good gracious, Captain. Do you mean to tell me that there's a man under all that hirsute growth?
What? Under all that what?
Hirsute growth.
Oh. Now, will you tell me something? What has a wrestling match got to do with a woman's suit growing, though?
Captain, hirsute growth is hair.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so in the first place? You know, you have the screwiest names for things. Sure, there's men under them wool mats. Now settle down. They're going to start now.
At the bell, Gorilla Slavko slithered from his corner and the great Bulak charged with the rush of a bull. Like two monstrous apes, they met in mid-ring. Bullock's arm circled Slavsko's skull in a headlock, and he thrust his squat body forward. As they went down on their backs, the crowd came up on its feet. With all the power of his resistance, Slavko struggled and squirmed to keep Bullock from pinning him to the floor, but it was useless. The referee pounded Bullock's back in a signal to release Slavko, and the first fall was over.
Oh, sure, and that was a fine demonstration. The great Bullock won the first fall. Now, can you imagine what them hippopotamuses could do to a chipmunk like you, Cosmo?
Oh, why, that's ridiculous, Captain. One little jiu-jitsu flip of the wrist that I might employ, and it would all be over. Just one.
Yes. And the one little flip from them steam shovels they use for hands, and I'd be sitting up all night at your wake, I would.
The two opponents met, and in an instant they were down. Cosmo watched while Slavko deliberately placed his knee in Bullock's groin and began to bear him toward the floor. Immediately, the professor's ire against sporting injustice was aroused. He jumped to his feet, protesting, and started to climb into the ring.
Here, here, my good man. That's not fair, you know. You mustn't do that. Oh, no, you mustn't do that.
Come back here, you little screwball. You want to get killed?
But, Captain, that's not fair. He's taking unsportsmanlike advantage of his opponent.
Well, it's too late now. He's won the fall.
It was true. Now the match stood at a tie with one fall apiece. While the two wrestlers awaited the bell, Cosmo rose from his seat and scurried to Bullock's corner. He reached up and tapped the hairy ape on the shoulder.
Mr. Bullock? Sir, Mr. Bullock? I have some information for you that you could use to great benefit.
What?
I have some information for you. You see, when you go out to grapple with your adversary this time, you can dispose of him quickly by pressing your finger against the phrenetic capillary nerve in his neck.
What do you say?
Here. You see where I'm pressing my finger against your neck?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Me see.
Well, you simply do that to him.
That's no good. Me get hammerlock. Push brain out of his ear.
No. If you do as I say, you will be wrestling champ of the world.
You sure?
Of course I'm sure. See? You press right here, phrenetic capillary. Hard.
Okay, me press. Me press so hard, finger go out, other side his neck. You press.
With a vengeance, the great Bullock tore into the ring to meet his challenger. Locked in each other's arms, they went down and began to squirm in position for a hold. And like great fish, they flopped about with such effort and exertion that shortly they were at the edge of the ringside where Murphy and Cosmo were seated. Bullock placed the heel of his palm against Slavko's jaw and slowly pushed his head over and down the edge of the canvas. Cosmo jumped to his feet and shouted directions.
Here! Here, Mr. Bullock, right here on the neck, just under the ear. Remember? Press hard.
While Bullock vainly sought his vulnerable spot with his thumb, Slavko looped his arm around and clapped his aggressor's neck in a half Nelson. The man started inching back into center ring, and the professor went right along. For the sleeve of his voluminous overcoat had been caught in the wrestler's motions, and he was now a third party to the match. With his sleeve wedged in a grip tight as a vice, Cosmo's feet left the floor and he was drawn over the canvas.
Hey, here you two gorillas. Come back here with that little mouse.
Captain Murphy dove into the ring to the rescue. Several patrons climbed in to stop him. The referee pushed somebody in the face and the friends of the somebody jumped in to defend him. Within 30 seconds, the wrestling match was a free-for-all madhouse. Down at the bottom of the pile, Cosmo began a search for his good friend, the captain.
Captain Murphy! Oh, Captain Murphy, where are you?
I'm halfway down to here, you dope. And if I find a hole in all this mess, I'll push my hand down and pull you out.
The professor felt a hand in his face, but his arms were pinned down so that he couldn't move. In desperation and with all the strength of his jaws, Cosmo fastened his dental plate into the hand.
Don't!
The hand jerked away and took the professor's plate with it. The Eventually, the little man managed to raise his head and he saw light. He pulled an arm free and began to crawl toward air and freedom. Using people's faces for stepping stones, he started to march upward, but soon one of his galoshes was caught in somebody's clothing. He was stuck again. A foot was jammed in his Adam's apple, a finger was boring a hole in his ear, and his mouth was filled with an elbow. In the dark, wriggling mass of humanity, Cosmo was having a very bad time. He knew he was near the edge of the ring, for one of the ropes was sawing at his vertebrae. And then at last, Cosmo found somebody's head in his hands. He wormed his arm around the party's skull, pulled it under the rope, drew the length of the rope directly beneath it upward, twisted the strand, and let it go taut. There. That fixed somebody, whoever it was. And while he speculated on wreaking vengeance, Cosmo noticed that the human load was getting lighter. Officers had arrived and were clearing the ring. Finally, blinking and disheveled, Cosmo stood up under the glare of lights. A small knot of people were gathered at the side of the ring trying to extricate Cosmo's victim. With typical curiosity, Cosmo wriggled through the crowd to see who it was.
Oh, my, oh dear.
The manager of the arena turned and belligerently faced the professor.
Hey, did you do this?
Oh, yes, sir, I did. But I didn't know it was Captain Murphy.
Yeah? Well, you better unfasten those ropes around his neck before he chokes to death. You know, we can't get it undone unless we dismantle the ring, and that would take all night.
But I...
Well?
But... The only way I can unfasten those ropes is with my teeth. And I've lost my teeth.
And that's another play by The Player, your one-man theater, Paul Frees, who portrays all of the parts. Mr. Frees will return after a short visit with your announcer.
Goes to a Wrestling Match was written by Walter Gehring and produced by Sam Kerner, with music composed and performed by Rami Idris, special effects by Fred Cole. Your announcer was Gary Goodwin. Won't you join us again when we present another exciting story for your entertainment? This is The Player, Paul Frees, saying goodbye. Until next, we meet.